Welcome to the Joyful Journey podcast, where we embark on a quest for clarity and cultivate lives filled with love, joy, and purpose. I'm Anita Adams, your host and fellow traveler on this path of self-discovery. If you've ever found yourself longing for clarity or searching for ways to make a positive impact in our world, then you've come to the right place. Together, we'll tap into the power of inner wisdom, access our highest selves, and unleash boundless joy. By doing so, we not only elevate our own lives, but also contribute to heightening the collective consciousness. Join me as we dive deep into conversations, insights, and practices that light the way on our joyful journey. Hey, Joyful Journeyer, Anita Adams here, your host. And today I'm excited to introduce you to someone I've come to consider a kindred spirit, Pamela Thompson. Pamela is the founder of Female Wave of Change Canada, a national member-based nonprofit. She's the author of two best-selling and fabulous books and is currently working on her third. Her books, Learning to Dance with Life, A Guide for High-Achieving Women, and The Exploits of Minerva, Reflections of a 60-something Woman, draw upon her many lessons and transitions through life, including living and working on five continents, separation and divorce, burnout, and finding the love of her life. Pamela is passionate about sharing her insights, stories, and actionable strategies on how to navigate change, lead in uncertain times, and thrive in life. She continues to inspire and empower others on their journey globally through her experiential workshops, speaking, and writing. Pamela believes that life is an adventure to be lived to the fullest and lives her life according to that mantra. Today, we are going to talk about and focus our discussion on tuning into inner wisdom, our inner compass to navigate change so that you can thrive in life. Welcome, Pamela. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you so much, Anita. I'm excited to be here and thank you for that gracious introduction.
My pleasure. You know, I have read both of your beautiful books. I love them. Learning to Dance with Life and Minerva, The Exploits of Minerva. And I think it was through reading this book that I feel that kindred spirit with you. It's like her story resonates so deeply with the woman I feel like I'm becoming and the journey that I have had. So thank you for writing such a beautiful book, a beautiful story, both of those stories, and for providing such wonderful tools and lessons that we can grow from and reflect on. So they're just beautiful. Thank you so much for that and giving me an opportunity to get to know you more and the work you do.
Well, I really appreciate that feedback about my books, Anita, because, you know, books are a labor of love and you hope when they go out in the world that they do inspire others and people find them, you know, they positively impact people. So it's wonderful to hear that you enjoyed reading them.
Absolutely. And I'm looking forward to the third book that's coming out. Do you have a title for it yet? Can you share a little?
I do not have a title.
Okay.
At this point, it's going to be an historical fiction novel with Afghanistan as the backdrop.
Oh, wow.
Because, as you know, I lived and worked in Afghanistan, and it was a life-changing experience. And I want to dispel some myths about Islam, Muslim men, and Afghanistan, and share some stories about what happened pre-Taliban. And anyway, I'm excited to do some more research myself and interview some people that I know and also share, and with the ultimate goal of promoting understanding, because that helps with peace in the world when we understand one another.
Absolutely. Creating that harmony comes from understanding the differences that there are and understanding how much we're not really all that different when you get to know culture and get to know people. Beautiful.
Totally.
Yeah, I look forward to reading that. All right, so let's dive into what we're here to talk about today. You are someone who has experienced a lot of change in your life and in your work. And I understand that you averaged 3 years maximum in each position before you became an entrepreneur in the early 1990s. So you're somebody that's making a lot of changes. And somewhere along your journey, after doing that personal growth, the inner work, you connected with your intuition and have made it a practice to listen to and trust your body's wisdom. Now, can you share with us just a few examples of when you followed your heart, or as I like to call it, your inner wisdom, and made a major life change?
I'd be pleased to do that, Anita. One was when I let go of my well-paying federal government department position on a handshake. And I'll share a little bit about that. What happened is I've been thinking about starting my own business for a while, but I really was hesitant to just take the leap and do it. And I was at this project management in a government environment workshop / training. And the research and development fellow who was the trainer, he basically was part of a management consulting group. And I ended up facilitating our small group and helping present some of the material or what we came up with. And he approached me afterwards and he said, "Where did you learn to facilitate?" And I said, "I just do it." In a previous life, I was trained in group and family therapy. That's one of many, many things I've learned over and done over my years. I said, "But I've never been trained specifically in facilitation." And he said, "We have to talk." So anyway, we met for coffee and he said that they needed somebody like me to open up the health sector because they didn't have someone who had a strong health background. And on a handshake, without any contract, I said yes. And so I gave up my well-paying federal government department job. And yeah, and that was I just knew it just felt right. And I loved the idea. I loved working with groups. And I just knew that it was the right thing to do. My father thought I was totally mad to do it. However, a few years after, when my own business got rolling, he realized and he said to me, "Pam, you took a risk and I really appreciate how the courage and the fact that you're doing well now."
That's beautiful. So. And it is a huge risk. It's a very bold move to do something like that. And on a handshake alone, like nothing in writing. That's pretty powerful. So what was it that you tuned into that you just knew? Like you said, you just knew. Like what does that mean exactly? How do you teach somebody that to tune into that?
That's a great question. I feel like all of us, Anita, we all have the ability to access our intuition, whatever that looks like. And some of us get an internal sense of knowing, just a very strong sense of knowing in our bodies. Others actually get a message. I get a message. I'm clairaudient. I get a message. And sometimes I get visuals. So some people see images. I don't most of the time. Sometimes I do. So part of it is exploring with people, like with clients, getting them to go in out of their heads and into their bodies and really sort of get a sense of, okay, when did you know? Because when, as you know, and I know with your work as well, having read some of your work, that it's like when you know, it's so powerful because so many people make decisions with the pros and cons list, which is what I used to do many years ago. And yet after they've made the decision based on that list, they still are not sure. And they stay up nights or wake up in the middle of the night and say, "Oh, is it the right thing to do?" Whereas if you listen to and trust in your body's wisdom, you just know and you just let it go and say, "Oh, it's great. It's going to be great. Whatever happens, I'm going to learn lessons and it's all going to be for the better." Yeah. And I feel like when I reflect on that particular moment, if you will, Anita, that it's like that was the carrot. Like I didn't feel like I could jump totally on my own. But when somebody offered me and said, okay, we'll give you at least 8 days a month of work at an incredible per diem for the early 90s. I thought, oh, well, I think I could handle that. And even though it only happened for 3 months, in fact, and then the amount of time waned. And then within 6 months, I ended up saying, okay, goodbye, and starting my own company. Or it was initially a sole proprietorship. And then within 2 years, it was an incorporated business. But it was like, you know, it was that carrot to actually move me in the direction I wanted to move.
Okay, that's really interesting. I often call those the spiritual breadcrumbs. When something takes you on a path, you respond, you pick up that breadcrumb, it's going to lead you to the next breadcrumb and the next breadcrumb. So I love that you had that experience. Tell us, let's hear another example of you tuning in and really listening to that inner voice. Is it an inner voice?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Let me ask you, is it your voice that you hear, or is it another voice?
It's another voice.
It is another voice. Okay. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Okay. I hear my voice, but my voice, to me, it sounds like an older, wiser version of me, somebody that's really confident and self-assured. Yes. I find it interesting for you that it's a different voice.
Yes. Yes. Interesting.
And okay, it's different for all of us. And I guess that's what I want to draw on. Like there's no right one way of this working. It's, we all have different ways of tuning in and learning to tap into that source of inner wisdom or intuition. And it comes to us in different ways. So.
Totally. Yes. Okay. Another experience where I really listen to my gut. I was taking a body-centered coaching program. I was already trained as a life and business coach, but I really felt called to get out of my head and into my body. Mm. So I was taking this body-centered coaching course all via teleseminar, and it was the last class. And the facilitator trainer coach was asking for a volunteer to demo a process. It was a body-centered decision-making process. No one was putting their hand up. So I said, well, I'll do it if no one else wants to. And she said, find a line on the floor. And I was in my office. And think about something that you really want. Now, imagine you have a knapsack on your back and it's filled with a bunch of rocks. Now, after you've thought about what you want, imagine all those fears or doubts or negative thoughts that come up as rocks in that knapsack. And feel them weighing you down. Now, cross that line. And before you cross it, release all those rocks and just let them go. Just let them release and fall to the ground. Cross that line however you wish. Run across it, leap across it, walk across it, and say aloud what you want. So I leapt across that line and I said, I want to play big. And you know, I had no idea what that meant. I wasn't even specific about what that meant. Within 2 weeks, I got an email offering me to throw my hand into the ring for one of three programs positions in Afghanistan. And one of them had my name written all over it. It was Senior Technical Advisor, Strategic Planning and Performance Measurement. And I looked at it and I spoke with my husband at the time and I said, this is something I really want to do. And this is like 2010, August 2010, mid-August 2010. He said, if you want to do it, I'll totally support you to do it. And initially it was a 9-month contract with no flybacks from Kabul. And so within a week, I threw my hand into the ring. Within 2 weeks, I was part of the interview process. By middle of October, I was on the ground. It was that fast. It was that fast.
Wow.
And it certainly was playing big. Because it was working in a war zone, helping a ministry develop their first strategic plan, a ministry of 74 departments in a war zone. And I had 9 months to do it.
Wow.
I used participatory processes.
And so you used what? Say again?
Participatory processes, which means I didn't just sit in the room with the senior management. I did, and I had a team that I taught. I built their capacity to do consultations across the 7 divisions in this 74 department ministry for the country. So Ministry of Health for the country.
That is playing big.
Yes, it was. But it was like, you know, it's just, I like, you know, just shows you when you use these body-centered type of processes, they're so powerful. So powerful.
Yeah, that's so interesting. So I'm curious that that exercise that you walked us through, it's a beautiful one. I like the idea of putting our doubts, the images of rocks in a bag and just feeling the weight of it and then letting that go, that imagination of letting that go. And then did you actually have a hard line on the ground that you leapt over? Did you put a line, or is this all in your imagination? You see this line?
I'm glad you asked, because this is kind of ooey and it's very powerful.
Yeah.
The line on the floor was an Afghan prayer mat that one of my Pakistan, I used to manage a project in Pakistan, team members had gifted me a few years before.
Oh, that gives me goosebumps.
Okay.
That is so interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. And at the time you had no thoughts of this project, this opportunity, you have no awareness of it.
Nothing
wow.
at all.
Yeah. Wow. That's really cool. How do you connect the dots with all of this? Like, do you just go, this is the universe, the magic of the universe? Or is there something that you go, okay, this happened because of A, B, C, and D?
I just trust when things come to me. And, you know, even though we talked about me consciously being aware of when I, you know, after I'd done a lot of personal growth work, you know, as children, we know so much. I can remember at about age 4, knowing in my bones that I would travel the world and be of service. I knew it. And then, you know, you kind of forget. And then it happens, you're like, oh my goodness.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting too. And it's something that I've spoken a lot about recently with other guests. And this is the idea of remembering, coming back to remembering what is innately our ability to do. And you're just saying when you were a child at 4 years old, you knew that you had this in your future, and then you forgot. And now, you know, this stage in life, we are remembering again. We are remembering that we are something more than what we've been telling ourselves. And we tune into something more. Yeah. What is...
Did I answer your question?
I do think so. You answered my question beautifully. And I do love the journey that you've been on. I want to know a little bit more about how you've deepened your practice to tuning in to that part of you. And you share a little bit, I think in Minerva, you talk a little bit about making time for yourself, how art has also played a role in connecting with your body and your intuition. What else can you share with the Joyful Journeyer on how you can develop your inner listening skills?
That's a really good question. Well, one of the things that I know to be true for myself and a lot of people is that we get into our heads, right? And so part of it is getting out of your head and into your body. And so body scanning, I teach my coaching clients, and I've taught it on webinars and when I speak, the body scanning process. And it's when, before you get out of bed in the morning, you basically scan your body from head to toe, and you just notice if there's any tension, any pain, and you consciously then breathe into those aspects to parts of your body to release that tension and release that pain. And oftentimes you don't even realize it's there unless you take the time to do it. Mm. That's one way.
And how long is that process? Is it like a...
Oh, you can do it in like 3 minutes.
Okay,
it's like
so fast. It's a snap. Yeah.
It's fast. The other one that I love, and I know this will resonate with you, Anita, is mindfulness walking meditations in nature.
Yes.
And that's when you go out and instead of thinking about that performance review you're giving someone or the argument you had with your partner in the morning, you instead totally tone into your senses, and you notice the breeze on your face, you smell the autumn leaves in the air, you hear them crunching under your feet, you see a beautiful vista, whatever it is, and you really focus on your thoughts. And every now and again, or not your thoughts, on your senses. Every now and again, words and thoughts will come up and you just let them float away in a bubble or in a cloud. And then you really focus on your senses. And that's another way. And just being in nature and hugging trees, like these incredible energies. Every now and again, if I'm in a place that has a lot of people, I think, oh, maybe I shouldn't do them. Like, what the heck? I'm going to do it. I feel called to hug this tree.
So, yeah. I've been known to hug a few trees.
And yeah, so being in nature is huge because it's also clearing. It's also, it clears our energy, right? And swimming and being by, I love to swim. And being by water and in water is very clearing. And because we need to get rid of any negative energy in order to tune into the positive aspects in our environments and in our bodies, right?
Absolutely. I've had some resistance from people that I work with, some clients, and even just chatting with people and sharing them with them the power of being in nature. People don't want to make time for that. And I find it so frustrating because it is, to me, it's a huge answer to so many problems and challenges and will enable us to access that inner wisdom and find love and joy and harmony and all that beautiful stuff. And it doesn't take that much time, yet it feels like I'm pushing a boulder up a hill sometimes and trying to encourage and convince people to the benefits of getting out into nature. Has that been your experience at all? Or, you know, like, why do you suppose there's so much resistance to making this time for ourselves?
Well, it's not been such a big thing, but when I was coaching high achieving women, when I launched my first book, and I was really, that was a lot of my clientele, certainly they were very busy lawyers, accountants, whatever. And yeah, it's like making time in the day was really big for them. And they would go out and run, but a lot of times when they ran, they weren't necessarily, they were processing in their brains rather than just enjoying being slow of running, right? I guess one powerful way, it's powerful, and I think it rings true for certain people, is to look at how nature taught us that to heal ourselves, because she showed us how she can heal herself. Because like 6 weeks after COVID, we got the reports of the air pollution over China radically reducing, because we weren't pumping a whole bunch of crap into the air. And then the dolphins, we heard about the dolphins coming back to Venice. So, I mean, we can learn so much from nature. So I think maybe, you know, approaching maybe the discussion from that could be helpful, saying, look, nature has taught us so much. And clearly she has taught us to heal, you know, to heal the planet. And that's a way we need to heal ourselves too.
That's a really great approach. I will explore that a little bit more when I'm talking to people, because I'm working with a couple clients right now that are really resistant to my encouragement to take, you know, like 20 minutes to just get outside and connect with nature. But maybe I'm not drawing the connection strong enough and how it can really improve your health, your well-being, your creativity, that flow of finding solutions to challenges, all of that. There's just so much brilliance in this time. And you know what we're here to talk about, learning to tune in and connect to that part of yourself, that inner knowing. For me, nature is the portal to that inner knowing, that inner compass. And it's been spending time in nature that was paramount to that growth for me. And so I feel like I want everybody to do it so they can feel that and experience it. And so they can make the life decisions with ease, you know? We're faced with all sorts of decisions every single day. And some of them are small, some of them are really big. And if we can lean in and listen to that inner compass, you know, that inner guidance, life would be so much easier, right?
Really? Definitely agree with you.
Yeah, this is why I think we're kindred spirits. We share so many of the same beliefs. All right. In your book, Learning to Dance with Life, A Guide for High Achieving Women, you identify seven keys to creative living, seven keys to consciously cultivating increased health, happiness, fulfillment, and inner peace, as we were just talking. One of the keys that you say is to learn from and embrace life's transitions. Learn from and embrace life's transitions. This is a key that you've personally, I understand, have been focusing on in the past few years. So can you tell us a little bit more about that and about the framework you've created to support people to embrace rather than resist transitions?
I'd be pleased to share that with you, Anita. What I've noticed is that when we resist change, it has negative impacts on our bodies, our minds, our relationships, and our bottom lines if we work for others or have our own businesses. And so for me, this is a really big key. And also because of all the changes that are happening as the world's speeding up. I mean, there's change has always been here, but there's been so much change in the last few years with the pandemic and all, right? And so I really think it's key to support people with a framework and processes and tools to help them understand the change process and learn to embrace rather than resist change. So I created a five-step framework called the Art of Change Framework. It's based on the metaphor, life is a dance, and it's underpinned by the belief that embracing change is a creative process that opens us up to new possibilities. May I share the five steps briefly?
Yeah, I was just going to ask. That would be fabulous. Please do.
Okay. So it's based on the metaphor, life is a dance, as I mentioned. So they are shine the light, choose your dance, feel the rhythm and learn the steps, practice, 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 and consciously share your dance with the world. So in shine the light, you really look at how you typically respond to change. So I ask people to rate themselves on a scale from 1 to 10 in terms of how they typically respond to change. 1 scares me to death, 10 being I thrive on it. So you can think about that yourself. If you want to share, you can. How do you typically respond to change, would you say?
I'm on the higher end. I like change, and which is supports the nomadic lifestyle I've chosen.
And many leaders as well, I find, that I do this process with, say, rate themselves as a 9 or a 10. Now I will ask you a slightly different question. When a change comes out of the blue that you do not initiate, how would you rate yourself in terms of dealing with those kind of changes? 1 scares me to death, 10 being I thrive on it.
A little more neutral, probably lower than neutral, maybe around the 4. If it's kind of coming out of left field, and if it throws my world into a bit of a tailspin.
Right. And that's typical. I would say for most people, even if you're a leader who rates yourself a 9 or a 10, for something you initiate, often if it's not something you initiate, you get knocked down to a 4 or 5. And I just want to make the point for the listeners that you're not any better if you're a 9 or a 10. It just really is a tool to help understand how you deal with change right now. And it's also really helpful with teams and organizations, because if you have this discussion in your team and you totally have this discussion and have people honestly rate themselves with the caveat that it doesn't matter what your number is, then if somebody is a 5, for example, you can ask them when you're starting a change process, ideally, or even if you're in the middle of one, but ideally before you start it, ask them what kind of support they'd like and need throughout the change process. So rather than having them getting angry and pulling and tugging and having them miss work or whatever, you actually have that discussion before you dive into it. And you make them feel like they're supported, and it's okay for them not to be all excited about change, because we are all not excited about change. We're physically, physiologically hardwired to fear it, right? Mm. So shine the light. That's where you explore how you respond to change. choose your dance. That's where you identify the transition you are all in and where you are on your transition journey. And with this process, Anita, I really strongly recommend that you only focus on one transition at a time, because a lot of times you could have more than one. Mm-hmm. Like a person could retire and be moving from one coast to the other, for example, right? And so you choose your dance, you choose that transition you want to focus on and where you are on your transition journey. I call it a transition journey, and I draw heavily on the work from William Bridges. You may have heard of him, based on over 30 years of research and people and organizations. He identified that regardless of the transition you go through, there are three distinct phases: an ending, a neutral zone, and a new beginning. And there's work associated with each phase. And if we don't do the work, we often keep repeating the same patterns in our lives and remaining unhappy and unfulfilled. For example, someone who gets married 3, 4, and 5 times, and initially there's a honeymoon period where everything's all rosy. And then after a time, the same issues crop up that happened in the previous relationships, and people either stay in them and settle, or they move on to the next. And it's because they haven't taken time between the relationships to find out who they are and what they truly want in life, right? So choosing your dance. So the ending, the neutral zone, the new beginning. So the work of the ending is letting go. And I've also added to Bridges' framework, identifying lessons learned. The work of the neutral zone is to envision that new life of your dreams, relationship of dreams, business of your dreams, whatever it is. And that is the scary phase, because that's the period of uncertainty. You've either left a job like I did and joined an organization part-time, whatever, or you've left a relationship, or they've left you. And then, it's very clear the ending has happened. And then you're in that sort of that abyss. Mm-hmm. And yet that's the creative space, because you get to create whatever you want. Like when you decided with your husband to let go of all your stuff, 90% of your stuff, how many years ago, right? And become nomads. That before, that was scary, I'm sure, And so you're in that space, but you envision what your life will, how freeing it'll be, and all those positives about that new life you're going to have. And then the work of the new beginning is taking action toward what you envisioned in the second phase, right? So in feeling the rhythm and learning the steps, that's when you start moving through those different phases and actually doing those processes. I actually just posted a blog yesterday, I think, on my site, talking about a recent transition I've been through and applying part of this process to it, to give people an example of how to do it, because it's really helpful if you actually take the time to say, what am I letting go of? Mm. What lessons have I learned? Right. And then, take the time to dream and then take action. Practice, practice, practice. Then you continue to do all the stuff, and also to embrace the change in your body rather than resisting it, using tools to embrace it, rather than feeling like you're really scared and resisting it. And then finally, consciously sharing your dance with the world, where you observe yourself and your surroundings and the positive impact that you're having. Because when you make positive changes in your life, you inspire others. You know you do, right?
Yeah.
And this process really helps you to move forward and move through transitions with increased clarity, confidence, ease, and also insight, because you better understand yourself and what's happening to you.
I love that. Thank you. I want to recap this a little bit just to make sure I got it as well.
Sure.
So I've got the first step is to shine the light. That's to identify what it is that is in changing, that's in transition, what's happening, where what the emotions are that are coming up. Do I have that right? Shining the light
to explore how you typically respond to change.
Okay,
so that's in a nutshell, that's what it is.
Okay. And then choose your dance. I like this. What you were saying is that there can be multiple things that are happening all at the same time. And if you're trying to do the foxtrot and the tango, and it's good, you're going to be falling all over the place. So choose the one thing and focus on one thing, one transition, one thing that you are trying to move through. I love that. Thank you for that. Feel the rhythm. That's where you're learning the new dance. You're learning, yeah. you're getting a sense of this new state of being that you are in. And then practice, practice, practice. That is for me, when I'm creating a new way of being in my life, was to be in nature. Just throw that back into the mix. Practicing that helped me connect to my higher self, connect to God, the universe, whatever your word is for it. But every single day I was practicing this transition as I was transitioning, because I was transitioning when I started doing this, transitioning from a career in the arts, in the nonprofit world, promoting film, to something I wasn't sure was going to happen yet, but I knew I had to practice in being in this space of creativity and exploring who I am and what I want. Okay, oh. Good. And then consciously, the fifth point, consciously share your dance with the world. I love that. That is where we are now. We have practiced a lot. We're feeling comfortable in our new skin, and we are now shining our light in another way and sharing outwards with the world. Beautiful. I feel like that's the stage I'm in right now, doing a podcast and getting my book out in the world. I am sharing my dance, and I'm inviting people to dance with me. So I love this, that the art of change framework. And I believe this is, you were going to give a download or an offer to our listeners tonight to walk them through this. Is that what this?
Yeah. Well, actually, if people go to my homepage at pamela-thompson.com, they can sign up for the Art of Change framework and my blog. And awesome. Then they can unsubscribe anytime, you know?
Okay.
I have blogs on there since 2014. Would you believe I've been blogging since 2014?
That's so great. Oh, that's awesome. I will have to explore your blog, because what you write resonates with me. So this is really awesome. Thank you for sharing that framework, and we'll provide that link in the show notes for our listeners. All right, I have one final question for you, and it's about the coming back to Mother Earth and all of that. So you recently handed over the leadership of the Female Wave of Change Canada, which we mentioned earlier is a national nonprofit that you founded as the ambassador for Canada of the global social movement, Female Wave of Change. That's what it's called, the Female Wave of Change Canada, right?
That's right.
Now, can you tell us a little bit about that organization? And specifically, I'm really interested in the Mother Earth Ambassador Program that you co-created with the Female Wave of Change Canada.
Well, I always enjoy speaking about the organization and the Mother Earth Ambassador Program. So thanks for the opportunity, Anita. Well, Female Wave of Change is, as you said, a global social movement that was started by a woman called Ingen Bol in the Netherlands about 7.5 years ago. And we believe feminine leadership holds the key to creating a better world, a more conscious, equitable, just, sustainable, and peaceful one. And just so you know, there are men in the movement as well. And it's really, and when we talk about feminine leadership, we mean qualities like creativity, intuition, emotional intelligence, you know, number of things we've been talking about here today. And as I said, men can have them as well as women, and we can all learn them. And the idea is, in this movement, we are aiming to increase the value and acknowledgement that these qualities have to be brought up to dance with the masculine. We need the rational, the logical, the left brain stuff, but we need the creativity and all the right brain stuff as well. And so it's about acknowledging that and recognizing, and collaboration is another one, with the issues we're facing today. One particular discipline or a few heads around the table are not sufficient. We need multiple heads around the table from diverse backgrounds and cultures to help us solve climate change and systemic racism, and a number of these issues we're facing. So getting back to the Mother Earth Ambassador Program, in Female Wave of Change, which by the way is in more than 40 countries, We focus on five pillar areas: education, environment, economy, health, and humanity. And a couple of years ago, just when we were full on in the pandemic, I felt very strongly, because I was influenced by nature healing herself and those examples I gave previously about the dolphins and the air quality over China. And I thought, even though I'm not a subject matter expert on the environment, I really want to co-create a project on the environment with some members. So I put a call out to our members and I said, anybody who's interested and passionate about the environment, come join us to co-create a program. And it was that broad. And I said, if you're a subject matter expert, that's awesome, but you don't have to be. So five women came forward. One of them was a subject matter expert, yay. But everybody was very creative. So in less than 6 months, Anita, we co-created the Mother Earth Ambassador Program, which is an experiential outdoor education program for girls ages 9 to 12 to teach them about Mother Earth, the Mother Tree, and how to become Mother Earth Ambassadors in their homeschools and communities. We did the higher level work. We did a lot of reading. We had a resource list. We had the broader goals, impact statements, and key content areas. And then we were able to, from a donor and also from our members' donations, to contract with a curriculum development consultant who really fleshed out the program into 8 modules for us. And she did an amazing job, a woman out of Calgary. And anyway, she worked with myself and the subject matter expert to really fine tune it. And then we actually ran the program for the first time. So the first cohort finished December 2nd of last year. And I was so excited to be able to meet the girls and the mothers and obtain video testimonials from the girls and hear about the positive impact the program had on them, and also to present them with their certificates. And so that now we're looking for partners across Canada and beyond to implement this, because we're not meant to be the implementers, but we wanted to test it once, to test the curriculum. And it worked really, really well. And the woman who did it is a woman called Sarah Wade. She's amazing. She has a forest school on Vancouver Island in Metchosin. And we contracted her to run the program over 8 Saturdays. And she did an awesome job.
Amazing. So you're looking for partners across the country who will run with this and teach the program. You've created the curriculum. You'll
That's
be
right.
Handing it over and hopefully have people that will then bring it into schools or different community environments where they can teach. And specifically just girls 9 to 12?
Yes, we're starting. That's who we're with. Now, we're obviously initially interested in groups that already serve those girls. You know,
right.
Later it could be converted to boys, but because of female wave of change and the focus on women, it's we're starting with the girls. And part of it is it's very interesting, but the Hub Trees and Forests, a forest ecologist from UBC, who I'm just blocking on her name right now, she discovered Hub Trees and Forests, and she calls them mother trees. And they exhibit many of the qualities of feminine leaders. In other words, they're very sensitive. They're emotionally intelligent. They sent, if you could call the tree emotionally intelligent, if there's another tree in that forest, even if it's of a different species, like, you know, it's a birch and you're an elm, so this mother tree keeps tabs on what's happening. And if there's one that is sick, needs more nutrients, she'll send messages out through the soil and through the fungi in the soil. And then others, even different species, will send nutrients to support that tree. It's like, she communicates through this fungi in the forest with all these other trees. It's amazing.
That's fascinating. And can it be any kind of tree that becomes a tree?
Oh, yes. As far as I understand. Yes. As far as I understand. Yeah. And so anyways, that's the initial focus too. You know, the reason for girls is this idea of the mother tree.
Oh, I love it. Okay, it's
metaphor.
Beautiful. So if somebody listening to this show wanted to get involved or connect to this program, how would they do that?
Well, they could email me, because I'm still chairing, even though I'm no longer the president of the organization. I am still chairing the committee, the Mother Earth that co-created the Mother Earth Ambassador Program. So they could send me an email at pam@creativelivingcommunity.com.
Awesome.
They could do that, and I could connect them. And
Awesome. Okay, that we'll make sure your email address is also in the show notes. This is really beautiful. It speaks to my heart. Mother Earth Ambassador Program sounds like something I can really get behind. Are there ways for people that don't necessarily want to do a program, but love this idea and want to support it? Are there other ways that we can help support?
Yes, thank you for asking. On the Female Wave of Change Canada site, there's a donation button.
Okay.
And you can certainly donate.
That's awesome. Okay. And can you specify that you'd like it to go to the Mother Earth Ambassador Program?
I'm just trying. You could send an email afterwards to it's the email, the, well, you could, you'll do it in the show notes, but just so people know, the website for Female Wave of Change Canada is fwoccanada.com. And it's not really readily apparent, the donate button. I have to look to see if they've changed it recently. But certainly you can send an email to info@fwoccanada.com and say that you want to donate or you've just donated, because you can donate and then specify, I've donated and I want this. This is earmarked for the Mother Earth Ambassador Program.
Awesome.
We would love that, because we would love to create a train the trainer to go with the modules and the curriculum. And we need to contract someone to do that. So.
Oh, neat. Wow, this it really speaks to me. I need to look into this a little bit more. It's totally up my tree.
And the other thing I should add is that each of the girls in the current model develop personalized action plans as part of this, so that they go out after and implement a project in their homeschool or community.
Wow. Oh, it's brilliant. I love it. Thank you so much for sharing all of this with us. We'll include all those notes, all those contact links in the show notes, including the gift that you are going to offer. It's a free download of the Art of Change framework that people can get from your website, which is super cool. Thank you so much. And Joyful Journeyer, if you haven't yet, please check out these books. So The Exploits of Minerva, Reflections of a 60-something Woman. Beautiful, beautifully written. A pleasure just to run through. And then Learning to Dance with Life, A Guide to High Achieving Women. And I think in this book, this is where you offer the framework as well, right? If I'm not mistaken.
You know what? No, because the key is in there, and I speak about
right.
The key, but I actually didn't develop the framework till a couple of years after
okay.
I launched that book.
Yeah, I remember being asked the question in the book about how I would rate myself on that. So maybe you got
it was obviously part of it was in my mind.
Right, right.
I haven't developed the full framework.
Right. Awesome. Well, thank you so much again for your time, Pamela. I really enjoyed getting to know more about your work and hear your insights and wisdom. And Joyful Journeyer, thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you enjoyed the show, and we will catch you next time. Bye for now. Thank you for joining us on the Joyful Journey podcast. We hope today's episode has sparked something special within you. If you resonated with any part of today's show and you're eager to explore further, visit joyfulinspiredliving.com. There, you'll discover additional resources designed to help you unlock the power of inner wisdom and create a life aligned with your highest self. Be sure to sign up for our newsletter and receive a complimentary download of our 3 guiding principles to inner wisdom. These principles serve as a roadmap to clarity, confidence, well-being, and joy. If you have any questions or simply want to connect, reach out. I always enjoy engaging with fellow joyful journeyers like you. Until next time, wishing you joy, love, and inspiration.